It is the year of our Lord 2024, and this is GeekCast Live. Smoke them if you've got them.
It's a trap!
Everybody, welcome to episode 487.
Third-rate AAA cannibal.
The great show title of the GeekCast Live podcast. I am your host, GCR, and with me, as always,
Rabase.
Firm AA man.
And Cartoon Joe.
You're on fire so far, Nick, with your... I have currently three show titles for you. On the
hot
list.
hot
yep. I don't know what
coming the in strong
I yeah my favorite I what actually right now is the forerunner for show title is what's up slut shamers.
That's a really good title.
So
that's I 10 out of 10.
I'm extremely front loaded tonight. My best material is already out.
You're just gonna drop off the call towards the end.
It's all coasting from here.
Yeah.
Rest on your laurels. That's what I always say.
How is everybody?
Tired as fuck.
Relatable content, but doing well.
Something about something about it being like 48 degrees and like cold rainy is just it has my bones weeping.
Yeah, it's back to hibernation season.
Yeah, I need like a bowl of like beer cheese soup.
Yeah, but like all the time.
Yes.
like
a never-ending thermos of beer cheese soup.
If you had a never-ending thermos of a soup, what soup is it?
You make a strong case for beer
French
cheese.
Onion.
What? French onion.
No, the cheese. Does the cheese ever harden, or is it perpetually like?
I like to imagine that it's perpetually
perpetually
like
cheesy
peak soup. Yeah,
yeah.
Perpetually peak soup. If I'm getting a magic thermos soup, like for eternal soup.
I imagine how pissed I'd be if I had an eternal soup thermos and it like
got cold.
It didn't do exactly what I wanted.
Of a thought experiment.
Yeah.
It's pretty low hanging fruit, but I think I might just go like a nice homemade vegetable beef.
I just like a
that's good, really solid.
Like a good chicken noodle.
Sure. Sure.
So yeah, I think if I had a never ending soup thermos, it would need to be a brothy soup for me.
I think you're right.
I couldn't do like beer cheese, as Nick said earlier, you're making a strong case for beer cheese, but
also a good show title, now that you've mentioned it.
Making a strong case for beer cheese. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let me write that down.
Just eventually you're going to take a sip of it and be like, oh, milk was a bad choice.
More beer cheese.
I feel like with beer cheese, you have to have a bread accompaniment to make that really work. You know, you got to be dipping it in something in it. If I'm just like,
just slurping down beer cheese, that doesn't do it for me.
slurping it up.
Not going to be happy with that. I'll stick with that. Res Ryan said, give me a broth base.
Yeah, I think broth base is the right. Even just like broth.
Well, like
just
like
a thermos of never-ending broth.
I was afraid you were going to overcompensate. You were doing well.
You had to say something, Nick.
Yeah.
I'm okay with like a bone broth.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just delicious. So bland. I'll just have tomato soup.
Just have the broth.
I was about 2 months into your fucking never ending soup thermos. You'd feel like a real dickhead for picking broth. Like I could have, you're telling me I could have anything hot, any soup hot from this thermos perpetually forever. Right. And the genie's like, yes. And you're like, perfect. Bone broth. Fuck.
right to the gulag with you then.
I mean, counterpoint though, if you're doing some sort of like trying to outwit the genie long con, just like having an eternal hot broth, you could make so many things with that.
That's also,
you could heat up some noodles and pour the broth over it.
I'm
well, it is a never-ending thermos.
It is playing like one step ahead of the gin. And like we have to respect those plays.
One step ahead of the gin is my new board game idea.
Yeah. It was also the band name of my boys in high school. Yeah.
It's my ska group.
It is a ska group for sure.
Has to be.
One step. You're that
polyamorous
band out of Portland.
Yeah. What is it? Yeah. Polyamorous jazz quintet. Is that what they are?
Boy.
Oh,
you're thinking of polyphonic string.
I might be. I don't know the name of it.
Real Big Fish?
No.
No, I mean, maybe. Come on. I know
what you guys are getting at.
I'm eternally online. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. Right.
I doubt Nick gets the joke for eternal polyamorous jazz quartet.
Right.
I probably.
I'm going to reply to it from the chat recently, and I'm going to say these guys.
Oh shit! So this show is going to be different. It's kind of just going to be a big long. What have you been geeking on lately?
It's like a focused banter cast.
Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't mind kicking it off with a discussion about Shogun if anybody else is watching Shogun.
I was thinking that there were two things that I really wanted to hit on, Shogun being one of them. So, because I think 3 episodes from finishing or so. I'm not quite there yet, but
I have yet to watch the finale, which came up this week as we record.
Where is it other than FX?
It's on Hulu.
And I also think Disney Plus is also on Disney Plus. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Diggity dog.
Disney fucking owns everything. Why wouldn't it be?
Finally, the monopoly pays off.
Yeah. After all these years.
I've read the book.
All right. Sell me on the show I'm already sold on.
I also just finished the book. Well, I finished like book one, I think of two, maybe. I don't know. But
just one.
Shog 1, next book Shog 2.
No, it's Shog 2, it's
furious.
it's feudal Japan, man. It's samurai and daimos and swords A-holes. And cannons and the one white guy whose real name is Cosmo Jarvis, which I can't get enough of.
Holy shit, no, that's
his real name?
Well, it's his nom de plume at least.
I mean, firstly, you go with that.
He's John Blackthorne in the show, but his real name is Cosmo Jarvis.
I tell you, when you're picking a name for the Screen Actors Guild and you need something no one else has ever used.
Right.
I swear to God, I didn't even realize his name was John.
He looks like a Cosmo Jarvis.
Here's the thing. Everybody in the show just screams Anjin at him. And like, I'm aware of what Anjin means, but like, it's hilarious. And so he's just the Anjin. That's his name. He hasn't needed a better one than that.
Pilot?
Yeah, but being able to just scream Anjin every fucking time that you're talking about him, it's great.
It is wonderful. Sonata, of course, never misses in anything that he's in. Ever. I also didn't realize that he's been acting since like the 1960s. He was like a child actor in Japan.
Huh. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Ashley and I have been revisiting, I don't know if you guys ever watched Helix on the Sci-Fi Channel. The first season was fun. The second season was trash. And then I'm pretty sure it got canceled. The gist of it is there is some sort of viral outbreak in an Antarctic like outpost.
It's a documentary from the past.
Yeah.
About the future.
Yeah. Time cyclical. It's all a suit. Anyway, Sonata's in that as well. And he's fucking terrific and has barely aged a day since then. And that was maybe 20 or 30 years ago at this point. The hell was Helix made? Anyway.
If I'm not mistaken, isn't he in...
2014.
It's a Nick favorite. Isn't he in Sunshine?
He's in Sunshine, I think.
That's the space movie, right?
With Cillian Murphy.
Yeah, Cillian Murphy's in it. Yeah. He was he's like a, I watched a video, somebody did like a montage and it showed him, it was like 1958 or whatever, and it showed him as like a,
yeah, Sonata was in that,
like a 6-year-old actor or whatever, how old, whatever the dates and ages were.
Wasn't he's he like the a one Japanese that, like, Christopher Walken? He's just in everything.
He's in everything. He was in everything. I mean, he's in the MCU.
Yeah.
Wasn't he the one in Sunshine who went outside of whatever the ship was?
I believe
the first time they got roasted on the solar sail.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that was a great scene. Anyway.
He's a Bullet Train, Westworld.
The Wolverine.
What a
Lost.
He was in Lost?
Yeah.
He was
Dogan.
Well, sure.
Whoever that was. He was in 5 episodes of Lost.
I do not remember that, but I also... Lost has been a show that's been circling my rewatch drain. So I probably I'll probably be like that DiCaprio meme when he shows up on the screen. Yeah, me pointing at the screen.
Like one of those guys from The Thing.
But Shogun is great. I don't know if you haven't watched it. I've really enjoyed it's a Tuesday night show. It's what I do on Tuesday nights. I'm watching it weekly, which is the thing I didn't think I'd be into, but I really am. And
nice.
I think what I like about it the most is I'll be quicker to revisit it, I think. Because I'll binge it the next time I watch it, probably.
Nice.
And so the idea of seeing it weekly has been pretty cool. But you've been watching it then, Rob?
I have been watching it, and I think the set dressing and costumes are fucking incredible.
Yeah.
I think that's the thing that continues to just keep my interest in it. Not that I'm a huge weeb and love samurai and like feudal Japan and stuff. But I think that the design for everything is just incredibly well done. And it's striking. It's really cool.
No, it's worth your watch. Nick, you haven't seen it, but you've read the book, so it won't be new for you.
I have.
But I thought the cool thing about the book was I was like 5 hours into the book before the first episode started, which is cool. The book,
nice.
The book gives a whole lot more.
Is it laying more groundwork on like the situation in Japan, or is it doing more and laying? Okay.
No, it does. It lays more groundwork for the situation in Japan.
Sure.
So you go into it with a little bit more foreknowledge. It's really good. It's been awesome. It's been fun to watch.
Nice. Jim Clavell.
Cosmo Jarvis.
Shogun.
I cannot fucking believe that's his name.
And he does like Jarvis. It's Cosmo Jarvis as Tom Hardy as John Blackthorne, which is also my favorite thing about it. He's doing his best.
He looks like a guy who should maybe be considered for the part of Waldo Butters.
You think?
I haven't seen him act, but just from looking at his face.
Well, maybe I need to look at like his IMDb picture. Because when I think of Waldo Butters, I think of like
it's not even a nom de plume. That's his actual fucking name.
Oh,
Harrison Cosmo Krikorian Jarvis.
Krikorian Jarvis.
Krikorian. Wow. There was this girl in college who gave me a Krikorian Jarvis.
Hives.
And
Urban Dictionary, voice, chat, search on.
He really hasn't been in much of anything until this.
No, I believe he's relatively new to the scene, and he got himself he'll be all over the place here soon, probably.
Yeah, I can't imagine that he wouldn't be after this.
Speaking of all over,
he looks like a Sam's Club branded Aaron Taylor Johnson.
A little bit. I feel like you can even get some of that in Shogun if it wasn't for him looking scraggly as fuck.
You know, I see the picture, Joe, now, and I understand where you see Kai, where you see Waldo Butters.
Yeah, he's not like my first choice ever, but I could see him doing it just from the picture. I need to see the show. He might not have the right vibe.
He's a little more commanding in the show than I would think Butters.
Well, I am definitely basing it off of Butters where I'm at, where he's regularly having like threesomes with werewolf broads.
Right. He is, isn't he? I forget that that's where
he's
that's
not really Polka Never Dies Waldo Butters.
No, he's not.
He's more like Polka Is My Dick.
Oh,
Waldo
no.
Butters.
There we go. Speaking of Polka Never Dying, did you guys see the new Deadpool trailer?
Yeah, I didn't. I should have. I'm sorry.
Oh, I wouldn't. I wouldn't apologize for anything.
He's good.
Yeah. Hope floats.
Yep.
For me.
Yeah, I mean, it plays me like a recorder.
It really does.
Any particular highlights from it?
Mm-hmm, yeah, like Franz Bluheim.
Okay. Well, I'm in now.
I didn't know how much I'd enjoy seeing Hugh Jackman in a comic book accurate fit. But seeing Wolverine as Wolverine, looking like Wolverine, is pretty fucking cool.
Yep.
Is he Logan? Or is this some one of those weird fucking...
No, he is...
Time meld things.
He is...
Yes to both of those questions.
Yeah. Great. Yes. I do Great. Not... I. He is not my... From what I'm gleaning, he is not the same Logan from the movie Logan. He's a different.
I'm not watching it. I'm not watching.
That's fine.
Yeah, that's allowed.
You do what you got to do, but I don't know.
That was always allowed.
I don't know what to tell you.
When's Rick and Morty back?
I will not contribute to that sacrilege. Or is it Logan from the movie Logan? But is he that Wolverine, or is he supposed to be some different take on Wolverine?
Nick, I think that you fail to understand like the nature of a multiverse. Like,
obviously,
infinite number of things. Just pick the guy. There are some minor variations with each one. It's the same one. It's different, sure, but it's a different one. It's the same one.
It is a Wolverine who has not yet gotten to the stage of what we saw in the movie Logan. But it is still a Wolverine who has failed his universe and all the mutants are dead. Like in the movie Logan. But it's a different Wolverine. It's not like... We're catching up with Logan before the timeline of Logan. It's a different universe as Logan.
there's some TVA Loki bullshit going there on is. In this one.
There is. And honestly, that's my one thing that I think it's the one thing I think Marvel swung and missed on is the guy who's playing like the TVA liaison. In the trailer, he is from Secession. It's the guy who played Tom Wamsgams in Secession. And he would McFadden, I think his last name is. Anyway, he would have been a phenomenal Professor X. And he's not going to be Professor X if he's just a guy who works at the TVA.
Right.
Unless
I'm with you.
What is the plot of this movie?
The plot of the movie is that the TVA get a hold of Deadpool, and Deadpool has to get.
Oh God! What a fucking
has to get that Wolverine to like join him in his quest to do the thing.
What thing?
we don't know the thing.
Whatever it is, whatever the MacGuffin is.
My guess is my guess is he has to save the current Marvel universe. He's Marvel Jesus.
Who's in the current Marvel universe at this time?
Everything that you've watched that's been Marvel since 2008.
Including Logan?
Why doesn't my screen do that?
I don't know.
Why doesn't my screen do that? For those of you who don't know, Joe just gave us a double thumbs up and now there's fireworks. And I don't know why my Zoom doesn't do that. I pay for the fucking Zoom.
I don't know. I also get like a little bubble when I thumbs up.
Yeah,
and when I thumbs down. Well, I gotta come back.
You don't.
Okay, maybe the thumbs down doesn't work anymore.
There's no thumbs down bubble from you.
According to this blurb here, it is set right after the movie Logan. These two can't be destroyed.
Oh man. Yeah, sorry.
It's incredible.
Subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/geekcastlive and you will eventually see this. Until then, enjoy the audio medium.
I don't believe it is set after the movie Logan. I think you are mistaken.
It says Wolverine's recovering from his injuries when he crosses paths with Deadpool.
I think those are just like
I would say that injuries. There's probably not a whole lot of actual information out on the movie at this point in time. So most things out there probably are just people shooting in the fucking dark.
I'm just going off the IMDb thing because it's usually pseudo reliable, but I'm not saying it is.
There are a ton of past characters that are showing up in the trailer, which is pretty cool, from different Marvel properties.
Taylor Swift.
I would say that if you haven't seen Loki season one, it might behoove you to do that before you go see Deadpool. Wolverine. Probably both seasons of Loki, but definitely one.
There's an Elektra sighting in this movie.
Yes.
Get out of here. Go get out of here.
No, there's an Elektra. There's a lot of characters from X-Men First Class are in it. The guy who played Pyro in one of the early X-Men movies is in this as Pyro. Awesome.
I imagine that like this movie specifically,
Ray Park
between
Shatterstar,
the subject matter and the amount of leeway that they're giving him with now you have access to all of time and space.
Yeah.
We are going to get some of the most obscene cameos that probably since like Guardians of the Galaxy, the first one, and just starting to get like weird shit out there, like Howard the Duck.
And it looks like the movie takes place for a section of it anyway in the void. And the void is a place outside of time where variants that are culled by the TVA go.
Sure.
And that's all in Loki season one. And so when you run into Elektra, let's say, played by, what's her name?
Who played Jennifer Elektra? Garner?
When Jennifer Garner's Elektra shows up in the void, she's just one of many Elektras throughout the multiverse who was culled by the TVA and brought to the void. Just like how in Loki season one, there's all the different Lokis, like Alligator Loki and whatnot.
So bad.
It's not. You should bring receipts if you're going to make a comment like that, I think.
Because
Loki 1 and Loki 2 are also both phenomenal Marvel properties that absolutely killed it. So I like the part where
Loki grew up and became a tree.
And there's a new Captain America movie. Oh boy,
there is a new Captain America movie
coming out. There's a new Captain America.
And Thunderbolts is coming out soon. But this is the only
starring movie. Harrison Ford as Thunderbolt Ross.
Well, the original Thunderbolt Ross died.
Oh.
Who cares? It's a CGI and Tupac him and let's go.
Tupac. That's a hologram. What are you talking right. about? He's just a theater kid.
Tupac him.
I just think I'm excited for it. I also a dog pool is in the trailer, which is cool. There's a nice. Real subtle joke to Rob Liefeld in the trailer.
Yes, fantastic. That's great.
Supposedly Lady Pool or Gwen Pool, probably. I don't know if they're two different characters or not, but she's as I think they're two different characters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are.
They are. Blake Lively is rumored to be playing Lady Pool, which is cool. If her husband's
going to be Lady Pool. That's an excellent choice. Yeah.
It just makes sense. And Taylor Swift. Yeah. The Dazzler rumor is out there too. So, but there's also a shot in the scene where there's like a sling ring, Doctor Strange portal that they jump through.
Yep.
And I don't know what that means, but that's also pretty cool. I'm going to say Ned from Spider-Man, but
I still need to see that last Spider-Man. I felt so.
I hope this
I'm is such a failure for not seeing it.
Finally turns into the Hobgoblin.
I hope he's the Hobgoblin in this.
Yeah,
I hope that there's a variation of Ned Leeds in The Void, who's the Hobgoblin, would make my fucking day.
I think it would be.
That's
hilarious.
What's cool about The Void is you can do all the things. That's what's cool about the multiverse too, is you can do that fan service like John Krasinski as Reed Richards.
The what if fuckery. I think that's also what's going to like make this very particular movie. Like you've got Deadpool, one of the most fucking unhinged characters that you want to tell weird and wild stories with. You've got the TVA, so you've got the means to literally throw whatever the hell you want into this story.
Yeah, anybody and anything.
Anybody and anything. And I would like get like throw all of the cameos that you want from, you know, get fucking Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire back in here for them pointing at each other Spider-Man meme. Get Patrick Stewart back in here.
A Spider-Man Deadpool devil's threesome.
Sure, yeah, like get slap it all in here. This seems like if there is a place for it, this is the place that is just stupid enough that you should probably bring it all.
Well, and he's aware, right? So he could even say like, "Hey, you're Ben Affleck from Daredevil. That movie sucked."
Yeah,
right.
Or whatever.
You want me to go back in time and kill you like I did myself?
This cameo cost us $20 million.
And no shit.
Yeah, exactly. I think that it would be great, actually, if during the course of the entire movie, there was actually like a rolling counter in the corner that Deadpool just referenced of like, this is how much this actor costs for this movie. This is how much this actor.
When, I think that would be. When Ben Affleck walks on screen and it fucking kicks up 10 mil and he just looks at me. Yeah. Like, 10 mil? Come on.
Are you kidding me?
It takes up another 10.
That would be fucking hilarious.
I think
that's what I love. There was a, in one of the later seasons of Rick and Morty, there was like a reference to an earlier season and a Stan Lee variant of Rick pops up and is like, "Hey there, Rick heads. If you're curious about this, go back to episode, whatever from season, whatever." The idea of having like, yeah, either they recorded it before Stan Lee died and just have that in there, or have Deadpool dressed up as Stan Lee do the same thing.
I think that would be funny. Or that'd having be very like fun. The Deadpool costume and just like a Stan Lee mask.
Yes, perfect.
Yeah. Some variation of this here. Yeah, it would be fantastic.
Or John Hamm as Stan Lee.
Yeah, you know what?
Because
I'm here for.
I've decided my go-to knee-jerk casting for any role now is just John Hamm.
I'm fine with that.
I think he can. Test me. Give me a role.
The Amadeus. Evil Queen.
Amadeus. John Hamm.
Dresden. Harry Dresden. Dresden.
John Hamm. I can do this 100%. All day. Give me one.
Mac.
Mac. John Hamm. John Hamm.
Reprising his role from Good Omens.
Passenger 57 remake.
John Hamm as Wesley Snipes.
Mm-hmm. It does work.
You're right, it does. Don't it works. So anyway, yeah, Deadpool. Those are the two things I've been. There's a YouTube show called New Rock Stars that does a frame by frame trailer breakdown. That's pretty cool if you haven't seen it, and you got 17 minutes on the shitter.
Nice.
Silly nerd. I have to check that out.
Yeah, I'll put a link in the show notes. Maybe anybody else? Yeah, I'm sure somebody else has been geeking on something.
Oh yeah, you know what? I feel like just to, it's not really new, but it's new to me. But to jump off of the Marvel train onto a different Marvel train, this last weekend I was down visiting my in-laws in Elkhart, and we went to the Hall of Heroes Superhero Museum in Elkhart, Indiana.
Which I didn't even know existed.
Had no idea it existed. It is the only superhero museum in the world, allegedly. That's their like claim to fame. And it's awesome. It was really, I walked in pretty skeptical, and it was great. They have like, first of all, they've got a Marvel section and a DC section and an independent comic book section. And just like, I don't even know where to start, but they've got all sorts of cool stuff. They have the, let's just start movie stuff. They have the,
they charge you an admission?
Resin, $10.
Probably worth it.
Yeah, very worth it for $10. They have like pinball, even if you paid your $10 and just played on the pinball machines that they have for free, it's worth it. But they have like Captain America's shield from, like signed by all the cast. Like Chris Evans's actual shield from Captain America and the Winter Soldier.
Really?
Sure.
Yep. In Elkhart. They have the, in the scene in Iron Man 2 where he crashes into the Shelby Cobra, or maybe it's 3, I don't remember. Anyway, he crashes in the Shelby Cobra and is like laying in the wreckage for a second. They have that Shelby Cobra. You can take a picture with it for another $10. They also have the motorcycle from Ghost Rider.
Oh,
like Nick Cage's Ghost Rider. Yep.
These guys bring shit down to Gen Con and Indie Comic Con.
They probably do
to show off. Cause I can't help but feel like I've seen some of these things down and around the convention center.
Yeah. The guy who runs it, he's been putting this collection together for like 40 years. And he, to be honest with you, looks, talks, acts like he's been doing that. Sure. He also is, he's like, you know, the show American Pickers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what he actually does for a living. And so, the way that the museum tends to get stuff is he'll be down like helping the guys figure out the value of a collection. And the people who are trying to give something up will be like, you know what? Why don't you just take it for your museum? Because we don't really want to sell it for, you got to go through the auction and you're not going to get what it's worth and all that stuff. Just take it. Just take it. We'll write it off on our taxes. And it'll be we'll know that we donated that to the superhero museum. And so they have like on top of everything else they have paraphernalia wise, they also have like 750,000 comic books or something. Jesus, and they have an archive of, if I understood him correctly, every Marvel and DC comic ever produced from 1956 to the present. And they're working on filling everything out backwards.
Damn.
That is a hell of a collection.
Yeah. So if you want to read something, you just got to go in and ask. They'll dig it out for you, let you look at it and stuff. They'll also, what they do is, whenever they get a collection in, they sort it out. And if whatever they brought in is something they already have, if it's nicer than what they have, they'll switch it out and they sell all the duplicates.
It's like fishing.
Yeah. Sure. And so like, if you were looking for a particular comic or something, they might just have it for sale. You could just go through the bins and look. It's a really cool place. I was shocked by how moved I was. I didn't know I cared about some of this stuff, but to be able to I recognized so many things. And they've got like a Very first issue of Captain America has Captain America punching Hitler in the face on the cover. They have an original copy of the like the go to print poster. They like you like the I don't know what they call it. From I Captain didn't read America the plaque. Of Captain America One, they have like the the thing that the storyboard piece that they made to print the comic off of.
Oh, cool.
Got it framed it on the wall. They've got all sorts of like, you know, if you're a fan of Batman, the animated series or a bunch of any of the other animated cartoons, as opposed to non-animated cartoons, get the fuck out of here.
Those live action cartoons.
Those live action cartoons.
Right. Like Titanic or True Lies, all the James Cameron stuff.
Yeah. True Blood. Yeah. One Piece. They have a number of the like the actual original animation cells with like the hand-drawn background and then like cutout thing that it's a cool place. It's way cooler than I thought. I'm gonna throw this out there. Don't make a special trip to Elkhart for it.
But if you're ever
passing through, take a couple hours. I think we were there for an hour and a half. And we went through it pretty quickly. So I could have spent 3 or 4 hours there, I think, just looking at every little thing, but I was there with a bunch of people who were
wanting not as into as
me. Yeah.
It's weird with shit like that. Cause I know we've seen the signs and we've talked about like the Doctor Who House. Doctor Who Museum is in like Mooresville, Indiana.
Yeah.
My son played soccer there last summer and I was driving to where they play soccer. And I was like, hey, that's the Doctor Who Museum. And it's like a tiny little building.
Yeah.
It's bigger on the inside.
That's how it is at the Hall of Heroes. The weird thing is he used to have this all at his house, which was too far off the highway and was too small for the amount of collection they wanted to display.
Right.
But he has his house designed to look like the Hall of Justice from the Justice League. Cool. And so, which would be cool if that's where he still had it. But now it's just like on a random thoroughfare in Elkhart. And so it's just like, it'd be like having it in the old shop, actually in the new shop, even in Lafayette for Interstate or whatever, or like where Marco's Pizza used to be.
Niche little museums are fun to me.
Yeah, it's awesome. And of course, they only have like
the Salt and Pepper Shaker Museum.
Awesome.
It's just salt and pepper shakers. $3 entry.
Nice. That's the right price for a salt and shaker museum.
I wouldn't pay salt and pepper shaker. I wouldn't pay a cent more. Mm-mm. And it's not like it's interactive either. You just walk past cases filled with salt and pepper shaker.
Right. I don't even want to. I don't even want to pay an extra penny to take a picture with any of them.
No, we went to go to it and my whole family's like, what do we do? I'm like, it's the Salt and Pepper Shaker Museum. We take a lap through it, say we've done it and we walk in there like, hi, welcome to Salt and Pepper Museum. I was like, hello. And I go to walk and they're like, oh no, you need a ticket. And I'm like, okay.
And run it by me again.
And I reach my hand out.
What's like, it cost? They're
gonna give me the ticket. They're like, well, it's $3 a ticket. I was like, oh, never mind. I'm pretty sure we get the gist. And
actually, I've seen Blue's Clues, but thank you.
Yeah, I don't know. I know what I like. Yeah,
I was looking forward to the anatomical display as to how they made paprika, but I don't need.
I thought it was like it'd be cool. Might be some sort of like. Like maybe you get to leave with your favorite one or something. I didn't know something.
That's the $5 ticket.
But when they said $3 and I was like, well, I'm not breaking a 20 to look at salt and pepper shakers. Like I understand that you have like a salt and pepper shaker fetish and you found a way to get a tax write off.
Right.
Keep buying. Them.
Do you have a deal on 7 of us?
Right. But I'm sorry.
I don't want to break this 20, but I'll give it to you if you let 7 of us in.
Yeah, I don't want change, but yeah, I just and my whole family, like we left and my son was like, that was rude. And I was like, maybe, but
no. It was, but I'm not going to pay $3 for something.
I honestly think if she'd have said $2, I might have paid.
Well, she should. Yeah. She should have went like $2.50
and haggle about it.
I should have haggled. I should have been like,
"Yo, puedo ofrecer,
ma'am,
$2.
I'll give you $2 a person." Or I should have gave her $3 and then just like, just me. Cool. You guys can't go.
You should have given her three bucks.
I'll tell you what it was.
You should have given three
and then just sent everybody in. Like, I assume that's just like a carload price. Like, we're at the fucking drive in, right?
And then when she says, no, I'll need more, go like, oh, it's three apiece. Yeah, I'm out.
I'll need those $3 back.
Yeah.
Either walked in there and then got your family on speakerphone and described each of them to them, or just FaceTimed every single one.
They've got check out this Odie and Garfield one.
Yeah. Hey, this
check out this Gary Larson salt and pepper shaker set with a Thagomizer from the Thagomizer one.
Nice. This one is shaped like a mushroom.
Yeah, this is a broccoli and a cauliflower. And they go together. Broccoli and
goes this one. Maybe this is too far. The airplane and World Trade Center salt and pepper shakers.
Oh no! See,
they nest in the.
All right,
so it's like one of those. It's like one of those birds that never tip over.
Yeah. Oh my god! Oh,
but the towers are made out of that Indian concrete that the planes bounce off of.
Right. Naturally. So anyway, yeah, we did that this weekend, and it was surprisingly awesome.
Great transition, Al.
Yeah,
that was a strong segue.
How about you, Rob? There's got to be something that, besides Shogun.
So Shogun is what I've been definitely kicking on here most recently. I did, after Nick, Joe, and I talked a little bit about free body problem, what feels like forever ago. Finally sat down and was able to power through all of that. And pretty good.
That show kind of came and went, though, with not really a touchstone on the earth. You know, no one's talking about it. They did for like a second.
I would agree with that. And they did spoke a second. I feel like
that's the problem with three bodies.
It's definitely stuck with me at the very least. I'm impressed with how well that they did with a story that I felt like was much more disjointed and not necessarily as interconnected as they made it for the actual series. But I still think about it a lot. There are a couple of lines that they changed up, but they sent a brain. I was pretty fucking pleased with how all that shook out. I watched it with Ashley, and that one hit her. That was a lot of fuckery. That one was.
I will admit that I think maybe four or five episodes I watched. I did really like, and I can't remember what pulled me away from it. I think
you were bitching about the giant cruise ship getting turned into Lego.
I think that's where I stopped. You're right. I thought the CGI.
Keep powering on. Like, I honestly really recommend it. I thought that it did finish out strong. I thought that it did very well in paying its homages to its source material. And we've only got like another 40 million years to go in the story. So we're getting there.
Say 40 million?
Yeah.
Oh boy.
40 million.
Longer than that if you include the like fan book that came out afterwards. And then we're talking on like geological timescales, but
I'm not in a frame of mind to understand that, to be very
fair. I don't even know what you just said.
It's closer to like on the billions of years time scale.
That's how long it takes, like the length of the story.
Yeah, correct.
Okay, gotcha. Sorry. Mostly because I was only half listening. Sorry. I got Twitter open over here in a different tab. I thought when you said the length of the book, I was like thinking the page numbers. And I was like, there's a million fucking pages in the first three books of this.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, 40 million pages in the first three books of this.
Close. No, 40 million years, give or take.
That makes a lot more sense. And yeah. You'd still be reading it if it was on a geologically time scaled.
I think they'd still be writing it.
Yeah. I have a kid in my congregation. He's like almost 30. In my congregation, who's a geologist.
Up here? A slightly smaller dog.
Yeah. He's a horse who watches over dogs. It's great. But he had to do a geological timescale project. And so he'd used the Harry Potter books. And so if you took all of time and lined it up with every word of the Harry Potter books, all of human history has taken place in the last sentence of book 7.
Sure. Yeah.
And that's
just what for like a scaling effect I'm following. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I really thought that it did a great job, Three Body Problem, setting up and establishing a lot of the weird physics and theory that are kind of integral to the story. I think the one thing that continuously threw me is they call the aliens something. I can't remember what it is. Like the Onshi or something.
I think that's it.
Something to that effect. And that is not the translation that I heard whenever I had listened to the books. It's a better name, and it might be the Chinese name that they were using for it. But the translation that I was listening to calls them Trisolarans. And so I have just been trying to wrap my fucking brain around knowing these things by two different names. But other than that, I thought it was really fantastic.
The dwarves know me as Hoogastank.
Zoran Hoogstanges. Rob, want to let you know, because I don't think I told you, I started Neuromancer.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
That's also a trip.
So it's a blind spot for me. I should have had it read by now, but it is, it's actually, and so Neuromancer is being opted by, it's being made into a TV show. I think it's for Apple.
Yeah.
And that's going to be a good show.
Yep.
It could be very cool.
It's got one of the more like evocative opening lines, I think, for a novel, where it's describing like looking up at the sky and the sky just being like the filler static that you would see set on a television set.
Right.
It's great stuff.
The really. Sky above the post was the color of television tuned to a dead channel.
Yeah.
Excellent.
It's been
pretty good. Really good.
I'm in. That's Man in Black fled across the desert and the gunslinger followed.
I'm switching back and forth between I'll read some of that, and then I'll if I need like a mood shift, I'm like that and Shogun is what I'm
jumping back and forth between
that Shogun and the Poppy War. I'm doing like a three-man weave with them.
Oh yeah.
Is the Poppy War good? I used my last Audible credit to get all four books.
So I did the same thing. They had all the books in one like 67-hour audio file.
Yep. Yep.
I've got 57 hours left.
I'm not familiar at all. Give me 30 seconds. Never heard of it.
Supposedly it's a very dark, gut-wrenching story about war. I believe it's based off of real wars.
Sure.
It's fiction, obviously.
It is fiction, but it is based off
of, like,
yeah, it'd be like
reality based.
It's the same kind of fiction as Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter. Abraham Lincoln exists in real life,
okay,
but he wasn't a vampire hunter.
Okay.
This book is fiction, but the stories it's based off of are true.
There's four books.
So would you say that it's like, all right, is it closer to Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter or something akin to like Pillars of the Earth?
Pillars of the Earth.
Okay, because I think there's a very big difference in what you were trying to describe and what you had actually said.
I described it, and then in my head said, that's not even close.
That's not good. No. Pillars of the Earth.
Like, it's kind
of
like Scooby-Doo when he has like a real-life guest actor.
Yeah, yeah.
Like when George Takei was that Japanese ghost.
Did you guys all read Pillars of the Earth?
Yeah. Did you not? Did I?
I did, but I thought I was a weird. I got
you are, but reading you're it, and I thought company.
I
was
like an isolated weirdo. I
also didn't know that anybody had actually read that.
I have never met anyone except else who knew what it was. Am I the one
that brought this up for us?
Right. It does seem strange. 15
years into us being friends, what the fuck's going on?
Well, it's not like I go around talking about cathedral it. Building.
Yeah,
I think it's neat that
or like,
that's a bullshit statement. I know that we have Joseph.
That's actually true. Yeah,
I think it's neat that Nick, one of the four hosts of the Geekcast Live, is shocked that the other three hosts have read Pillars of the Earth.
Yeah.
Well, only because I read it because it was like steered to me, and this was on like a Kindle or something. And I don't know, I felt weird.
I read it on Apple like, Books.
What have I just done?
I think you so and I read it at the same time.
There's even a show that Jeremy.
It's like when you test your own floating rib. There was a show.
That's, I'm pretty sure that's what got me to get into the book. I was like, hey, this is fucking rad. There was absolutely.
I believe there was a show.
There was 100% a show. All
right, I gotta look it up now.
Cannot stress that enough.
I'm gonna be upset again.
But I'm following in that, like, it's rooted in some form.
Wow,
like
TV miniseries, 2010.
Ian McShane.
With Ian McShane.
Oh my God, Ian McShane in the worst wig I've seen since the Witcher promo pictures.
Hey, and my guy Matthew McFadden, who played Tom Wamsgans in Succession.
I looked up his name. I looked him up, and I see why you are having such trouble with his last name.
You want to say you want it to be McFadden.
It might be pronounced McFadden, but I definitely
Eddie Redmayne was Jack. Of course he was.
Haley Atwell. Oh yeah.
The hell is that last name, Matthew?
It's powerful shit.
Tony
McFadden.
Allison Pill was in Pillars of the Earth? Jesus.
I thought this is Sarah Parrish, but as I was scrolling, I thought it was Sarah Palin.
Sarah Palin.
I was like, what the fuck?
That's where she cut her teeth in the biz.
Right.
She starred in Ian McShane's Pillars of the Earth.
I can see Russia from this flying buttress.
Oh, shit. I didn't know my guy Matthew McFadden was in that. I am firmly on record his character in Succession is a Rushmore of TV characters all time.
Donald Sutherland?
I tell you.
Allison Pill, who looks like a younger clone of Kristen Bell.
And Kate Dickey. Kate Dickey, who was in Game of Thrones. She played Lysa Arryn. Is in this too.
Whoa.
Just a lot of people that I didn't know were in this. Then when did it come out?
2010.
Oh, 2010.
That sounds about right.
I mean, it does. It makes sense because we have to remember England only has like 10 actors.
Mm-hmm. And they have for the last 50 years.
Well, and the reason we haven't talked about this ever in 11 seasons is because we had all it read the book and watched this series well before we decided to do a podcast. So
right,
it's just you guys ever heard of this little known
company
it.
Called TSR? They've got this great up and coming game that I think that we should all check out. It's called Dungeons and Dragons.
Tell me about it. Tell me.
You know Dungeons and Dragons? I thought I was just the weird 13-year-old who did that.
Hey, speaking of weird 13-year-olds, Nick, what have you been geeking on this month?
The Pillars of the Earth cast lister is what
nice.
I've really been reaching deep into.
You've just been waiting for us to nonchalantly bring it up.
If I'll, I can I'll be just honest find a way to get Pillars of the Earth into the conversation. God, it just
maybe he's been trying to work this in for maybe at least this three week or four is episodes. The
10 seasons.
Yeah, for
10. he joined the show to talk about Pillars of the Earth.
We've done it,
but he wanted it to come up organically because he didn't want to be made fun of in case.
Yeah, he didn't want to bring it up.
Yeah. Well, he didn't know. How could
just,
you?
I've just been waiting for one of you two to activate that word sequence for 10 years. I honestly haven't thought about that book.
I haven't either.
What else is in here?
Nick, I haven't followed Winter Soldier.
I actually had to, I did a double take in my brain when Rob said it, and I was like, yeah. Just like Pillars of the Earth. Hadn't thought about it since I put the book down and it was instantly out of my brain.
Yep. I think I briefly looked at the sequel and then went, oh, this doesn't look good.
Yeah, it wasn't as good.
There's a sequel?
Yeah. I think there's three or four of them now.
There was a couple of them. I think the immediate follow-up was something to do with the Black Plague, if I remember right.
That sounds right.
So they're not all about building a cathedral?
No, some of them are about dying in and around cathedrals.
Oh. Yeah, or raping in and around cathedrals.
Just like...
As one does.
It's pretty bleak.
Yeah.
I'll skip that one. Bill Cosby's favorite.
Oh boy!
He likes to read it while he's
eating the pudding.
You ever read the kind of follow-ups of Pillars of the Earth? It's a really bad Bill Cosby.
That was horrid.
I picked it up though. I mean,
I had it at
Ryan,
the beginning.
How long have you been?
What?
No.
No. How long have I been? What?
I was going to ask how long have you been playing for the New Orleans Pelicans on the side?
Yeah, just a couple seasons.
Because, I mean, this Valanciunas guy is you if you drank the Tom and Jerry Tweety Bird potion.
Okay.
That's such a specific thing to say. I love it.
Well, Jonas? You know, when Tweety Bird drinks the potion and turns into giant mutant Tweety Bird?
Yeah.
That's Ryan for the New Orleans Pelicans, this guy named Valanciunas.
Strong Lithuanian.
I have to find out. I have to find your picture. All right.
Speaking of basketball, though, the end of that. How about them Knicks?
That was poorly officiated.
That was wild.
That guy got two fingers stuck in his butthole, and they didn't blow the whistle.
They just
the Knicks got the ball.
They just let them play
in real time.
Yeah,
a man got breached on national TV and. Apparently, that's just how it's going to roll. So
he can put anything he wants on TV these days,
except for nipples.
Yep, female nipples.
Female nipples.
No lady nips.
Nibbles, and I thought that was like a animal that does tricks of some sort.
It does.
Hmm.
How do I spell Valanciunas?
I don't know.
You want my best guess?
Well, if I could just pause the TV when he's shooting free throws, I'd be good.
V-A-L-A-N.
Oh, I think it's V-L-E-N because it's.
I was going with I-N, like it was rooted
it's,
somehow.
You know what, but I think
V-A-L-A-N. Yeah.
I think if I just look at the Pelicans roster, that would work too. So I'm just going to do that.
I'm just going to put this in the chat.
I think Valanchum means friend of Valinor. If I remember correctly.
That's true.
Oh, he's gay.
That's the original Futhark.
Yeah.
What?
The original Futhark.
Stop doing this. I want... Oh, my God.
It is V-A-L-A-N. Valen.
Is it? You got it?
Valen, or as is also a man from Valinor, which is what that could also mean.
Oh, I thought he said a friend of Eleanor.
You thought he said a friend of Eleanor, and then when I said the original Futhark, you just said like that. Those two things don't make any sense together, but I'm going to let it roll.
Yeah, I thought it was very funny.
That's awesome.
I thought you were referring to the he's got really interesting what are they called? Accents. There's like a swoop over the C and like a tilde over the U.
Sure.
And I don't really understand how to pronounce places. Those.
Oh, he does. He's got like a lowercase V over the C.
Yeah, his C is like Scottish angry.
And then the U is just you pronounce it U. It's not right. It's a U
sound. Oh yeah, it's just a long U, isn't it?
Long U, yeah. Valanciunas. Mm. I didn't think we'd get
to him. He's heavier and more beardy now. So this picture doesn't really do him justice.
Oh, gotcha.
And he's 6'11". God damn.
At least.
Speaking
he's large.
Big dude.
I gotta think of his name or it's not gonna do us any justice.
Mm.
Never mind. It was a thing I saw on Twitter. The dude who's making 80K a month on OnlyFans. Do you see that guy?
Oh yeah, Girthmaster.
What? Girthmaster.
What?
Yeah.
You guys are trolling me.
I'm not.
I wish I were.
I had to look it up.
I did too.
And
because people were talking about wine bottles.
Yeah.
How do you make 80 grand on?
He's got a penis the size of a wine bottle.
Yeah.
Is that true?
It's a gigantic penis.
It's hard to say because pictures aren't real anymore, but I'm pretty sure it's true.
It's 4.5 inches wide.
That's too much.
Girthmaster.
That's how I found it.
The first time
I heard of him.
He makes 80K a month on OnlyFans.
Yeah.
Just,
why wouldn't he?
Like, and he seems like a really nice, chill dude.
He is. He's from Australia. And he's just like a cool guy. You know, he's got a big dick, so he makes some money with it.
Yep.
Might as well.
That's amazing.
Good for him.
What's cool, though, is at some point he sat down and was like, should I just be like, at
you know
Ryan
what?
At OnlyFans? Or
right.
What should I? And then somebody was like, I don't know, Girthmaster. He was like, fucking.
Yep. Sold.
Spot
That's on. Good branding.
Oh, shit.
That spotted in my outhouse.
Oh my god.
Well, anybody else have anything they were geeking on?
Not after that, no.
Well.
Lightning round. Fallout, Delicious in Dungeon, One Piece. That's all I got.
Fallout's one that I can catch up on.
There's over 1,100 episodes and they're still coming out weekly.
Lightning round. Baseball, Cubs are good, White Sox are bad. The NFL draft's tomorrow. Really looking forward to that. Because that means the fantasy football season gets underway in earnest. Look, if you liked what you heard and you want to hear more, best thing you could do is go to Geekcast Live. Give us 5 stars. Tell us what you've been geeking on this month.
I like that.
And if you would like to tell us other things, you can do so on any of the socials. All you have to do is search at Geekcast Live, and you can check out the website that I made at finalpress.com.
It's a nice website.
It is.
Good job on that one.
Oh, and Donald Trump's getting fucked. Sorry.
Yeah.
I've been thinking about that too a lot.
Sorry, it's been great to watch. Some more news. Podcasting's been great lately. Anyway. Speaking of great podcasts, if you want to support one, you can do so over at patreon.com/geekcastlive. And if you want to represent us to the world, you can do so over at gcl.threadless.com.
Where?
gcl.threadless.com.
Oh, gcl.threadless.com. That's fine. Good, good, good.
Bye.
Tally-ho.
Call your grandparents. Yeah. We love you.
Till next week.
Geekcast Live. Absurd and on brand. Doesn't that sound good?
It sounds really nice. It.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody. As always, we want to take a minute at the end of this monstrosity to thank all of those amazing people that do help make this thing run. We can't do it without you. We do it for you, as a matter of fact. We've got Dwag Riflux. We've got, of course, World Star. We've got Lada Bartova, Danger Johnson, big time. Timmy Jim, Slughaven Kapitsky, I think the third. That's right. David Dave Jeep Duck of the Mississippi Jeep Ducks. Big Wad, Hardy Doug the Handyman, Channing Tatum, new this year, Flat Stanley, Zip Plorg, the K Man. Three finger Emily, she's four finger Emily this year. Just nice to see. And anybody that I'm forgetting or left out, write in. We'll tag you later. We love you and thanks. Check this.